I'm Brian.
I'm Griff.
And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and inspiration to help you start and manage and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 241. And that was my deep gravitas voice. I hope you liked it.
What, were you trying to be Walter Cronkite? Two-thirds of our listeners won't know who that is.
And that's the way it is.
That's why we have Google.
Yeah, look it up. Exactly.
So how you doing, Griff?
I'm so deep into packing, and I am on a tear getting rid of stuff. And I feel bad about it because I'm filling up bag after bag of really high-quality shirts, and I'm thinking, if only there was a way I could just get these into hands of other sellers. I should have thought about this.
Do you want me to give everyone your address and have them drive over?
No, I think that's a mistake. But I thought about actually putting together in lots and offering them on eBay in one box.
Oh, yeah.
So I never bought anything that was low quality or ugly. They're really good quality brand names and everything. But I just, there's no way I'm going to cart this stuff down there. I've saved out maybe four or five bins of stuff.
You know what I'm excited about?
What?
Like once you move, yeah. You get settled in. And then you're going to end up starting to like notice that there's different types of inventory down there that you will be intrigued in. It's going to be fascinating to see, like, do you start to purchase some other different types of inventory that then starts showing up on eBay?
Let's hope not, because there's no place for me to store it. I have the advantage right now of this huge garage that I'm not going to have when I'm down there. I would actually need to rent a place to do that. And I don't know. Maybe we'll see. I mean, I still have a job. I'm still working.
I know.
I haven't been in a thrift store in 4 years, so I don't know what I'd do if I got into one. Probably lose my mind. Well, yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
Well, that will be over soon, and you'll be settled and nice and relaxing by the pool.
It will be. I'm noticing as the deadline approaches, a lot of the stuff I thought I'd do and do it wisely, I'm now just saying throw money at it.
You can throw money at me if you like.
Yeah, you're not going to help me anyway, so... I had this aluminum ramp that I paid a fortune for so he could access the front of the house, right? No one wants it. You know, they're custom made. They cost a fortune. They're all aluminum.
Recyclable.
And that's what I ended up paying someone to take it away.
Wait, you had to pay someone to recycle it?
Yeah. The problem is that if you want to cart it to a metal recycler, they'll give you a by the pound price for it. But if you don't have a way to transport it, and I don't.
It was long. It's a ramp.
It comes apart, but it was big. And I'm not going to stick that in the back of the smart car. The car will tip over. So you can pay someone. Someone will come and pick up your metal, but there has to be 500 pounds or more of each of the metal. And that the thing was aluminum. It wasn't that heavy. I'm paying to have a lot more stuff that I was planning to have done for free or maybe to get paid doing it. I had a friend years ago who had resources. And I think I actually mentioned this before on the podcast. And her solution whenever there was a big crisis was she'd say, oh, just throw daddy's money at it. Just throw a big bag of money at it and it will go away. And she used to make me laugh because I never had a big bag of money before and I still don't, but I'm seeing the benefit of throwing money at things just to get rid of the stress.
Yeah, but you need the money to do it or it brings other stress.
And then you have to sell the things to make the money. And if you've already given the things away, it's a vicious cycle to the bottom.
You say aluminum and our friends in the UK say aluminium, but either way, you got rid of it.
I got rid of it, exactly.
So who's our guest this week, Griff?
Well, this week, we welcome back an eBay seller who's been on the podcast in the past. Her name is Sarah Eyre of Sarah Style on eBay. Sarah is a big proponent of the importance of data in managing a successful business, including on eBay. And today, she's going to join us to talk about how you can use eBay's different tools to mine the data you need to make your business more successful.
And of course, the news is still on time away, so to speak.
So to speak, it is, but it will be back in June or maybe late May, depending on the eBay news cycle. But while the news is on a short hiatus, we encourage everyone to check out the announcement board for seller news every day at www.ebay.com/announcements.
I do have some eBay seller community news, though.
Oh, great. Let's hear it.
We are starting to go back out and visit sellers where they have seller meetings. In fact, we were in Denver a few months ago at Sarah, who our guest. She has a meetup in the Denver area. So if you're in Denver, check out the Denver seller meeting. And I'm going to visit three of our sellers in the middle of June, week of June 12th. Details TBD, but check out the events page for those events at community.ebay.com, events. And I'll be visiting Miami, Orlando, and Tampa.
Details to come.
And these are all seller run. You know, like Sarah runs the meeting in Denver.
Cool. Before we introduce Sarah of Sarah Styles, we got some news about an upcoming eBay event to share. It just came in. This is from our colleagues in community engagement. I know this is sort of last minute, but they just sent over the copy. So would you like to share the honors with me?
Absolutely. Hand it over.
Here you go.
If you're looking for ways to grow your summer sales, the eBay Summer Seller Check-In is back and right around the corner.
That's right. And it's a 2-hour virtual event. And this year, we've got an exciting lineup of speakers and topics. We'll be sharing information on how to give your store a refresh, when to use seller-initiated offers, and lots more summer marketing advice. Plus, we'll have several breakout rooms dedicated to topics like hiring help during the summer or building a good business credit rating. Also, a whole breakout room dedicated to the new eBay Guaranteed Fit program.
And as always, you'll also have the chance to network with other eBay sellers. So don't forget to mark your calendars. Join us for our Seller Summer Check-In on Thursday, May 25th from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., and that's Pacific time, and learn new seller tips and tricks to heat up your summer sales.
You can RSVP for the event by visiting sellerevents.ebay.com or clicking the link in the episode summary overview. And now we got that out of the way. It's time to meet Sarah.
Great.
In all my years at eBay, I've watched some sellers really succeed using the tools that we build and provide for selling, listing management. The list just grows over time. But a lot of sellers, they're not quite sure how they should approach a new tool. We always talk about the importance of testing, but I think sometimes it's really important to talk to somebody who lives that mantra every day. And so who better to bring back for a second time here on the podcast, somebody who knows this inside and out. Sarah from Sarah Styles LLC is back with us. She was here in episode 208 last September when we talked about the importance of analytics for business success. Today, we're going to talk about the importance of testing and learning eBay tools so that you can use those for success. Welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, I'm super excited to talk about this topic. So thanks for having me on.
I always get like a little perplexed and a little concerned when I talk to a seller who just sort of throws up their hands and says, you know, I'm just not going to use that tool. It's just not for me. And I'll give you an example. So paraphrasing Hamlet, to free ship or not to free ship. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, it's your choice. But if you're going to make a business decision, don't you want to test your way into it? No, I believe and I assume and I don't think. And I'm thinking, no, that's not how a business works. Sarah, help us out.
I'm with you. And when I was starting eBay, I was out there trying to find this information. Like, should I do it? Should I not do it? And it was hard to really find how to figure out if you should, because everyone's business model is different. Everyone has different categories. And it is going to depend. It's kind of why I started my social media, is to look at some of these things and teach other people what I'm doing, but not what I'm doing, but why I'm doing it, right? Like if I do free shipping, it may work for me, but it may not work for you. Here's the steps of how I test it. Here's the analytics that I look at so that you can make a decision for you. And I think right now is more important than ever because it is getting really hard with the economics. You know, we're seeing that higher prices in sourcing as things are going down, and our margins are getting slimmer and slimmer, and we really have to start working smarter and smarter if we're going to make it through.
Sarah, remind us what your background is.
It's a little bit of everything. But I can talk about this. I have a degree in mathematics. I went to school to be a math teacher. So that's kind of why the social media aspect of teaching people how to do it comes out. I did upcycle 20-ish years and then got strictly into reselling 4 years ago. Worked in corporate America for 8-ish years doing statistical modeling and forecasting and mathy type things. And so that's kind of where that all comes from.
I know you have a YouTube channel and it's growing in popularity even since I last talked to you and visited in September. But on that channel, you give lots of examples. And I was hoping you could talk through one or two of your choice of how the idea of what we call here A/B testing for most of what we do internally at eBay when building a product, but how the idea of testing works and how a seller who may not have that background can understand it in layman terms and then be convinced to actually put it into practice.
I mean, in layman terms, it would be taking a tool or like promoted listing, something new that eBay is offering us to try and use, using it for, I usually recommend about a month, but it's going to depend on your volume of sales. If you are a super low volume seller, you may need to do something for a couple months to really get good data to figure it out, using it and then comparing to when you did not use it. without making other changes, which can be really hard because, you know, there's so many things that we're like, oh, we want to change this and we want to change that. But if you do too many things at once and sales increase or decrease, it's hard to pinpoint exactly what caused that increase or decrease.
I know at eBay what we do, and I've actually done this myself, is rather than test something on all of my listings, if I have hundreds up at the time, which I don't right now, Evan, thankfully, is I'll take a selection of those and then put them in their own environment and implement that testing of a special feature, whether it's promoted listings or a different shipping option, to see what the results will be for that group.
It's a great idea. I think it's so hard to say one thing fits for everybody. Like for me, I only do women's fashion. So if I did a subset and it works for that, it chances that it would work for my whole store would probably be good. If you're like a miscellaneous seller and you try something for Christmas ornaments, it may not work the same as for your women's pants, right? So I think it's going to be a little bit different depending on what you're doing. But let's say you had 2,000 women's fashion and you wanted to just try it on 100 items. I think that would be a valid statement to do.
What other tools are there that you have advised sellers to implement a testing method as part of implementation? We talked about promoted listings. That's a big one.
That's what a lot of my time right now is spent on in my own personal business, as well as most of my videos, because I'm personally doing it. So I make a video to teach others how to do it. And there's a lot of questions around how to implement it, because that is so business, eBay, seller, store specific, that it's not one blanket statement. There are a lot of complexities to it. And eBay's come out with so much good data to help us. They have the dashboard now. They just came out with the return on an ad spend, ROAS, I think it's called now. It's a very complex topic, and it's additional money coming out of our pockets. And so you really want to make sure that you are using it to the best of its ability without losing too much money. So I think that's the majority of what I've been doing lately. I will say almost every tool or free shipping, all of the different options that we have on eBay, I've looked at some point or another. Now, some of them maybe 2 years ago, but the testing scenario is still valid. There's some that I need to maybe refresh and say, hey, I haven't looked at my free shipping in 2 years. I should probably look at that again and see if I should be using that now because the market has changed.
In the past, and I've always not recommended them. So people will say to me, you know, those add-ons when I'm going to list an item like gallery image or bolding a title, and there are little charges that add up. Have you actually ever tested any of those add-ons and to see what, if any of them work for you?
Like in the listing add-ons. I want to say in the very beginning I did when I first started on eBay, but I know that I haven't recently. I think many years ago when they first came out, it was valid to kind of stand out, but I don't think that's really best practice. Like it's not necessarily needed now to stand out. There's many other ways that you can get it seen.
I'm a big proponent, even though I've worked for eBay for 27 years, to tell sellers, don't give us any more money than you absolutely have to.
Yes. And I fully agree as a, you know, I don't work for eBay. I'm a seller, but I do think that there are times for us to give eBay money if it's going to help our business. Those, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't tried them out. Maybe. See, now you're giving me content material for my YouTube channel.
Yeah, please. If you do run tests on them, I'd love to know how they work out. Sarah, now that it's been a month or so since the changes that came as announced in March 30th with the way promoted listing standards are charged, I assume you're kind of in the process right now of testing to see how that's going to change your strategy moving forward.
Yes, I put all of my promoted listing into a campaign because then you can look at the dashboard and there's so much useful analytics in that dashboard that can help you decide if it's working, if it's actually giving you more impressions, if it's giving you more sales. As I mentioned earlier, you know, they added in the return on ad spend, which is such a valuable metric to be able to see if what you're spending is actually giving you a good return. So I'm definitely monitoring all of those to figure out what my breaking point is as fees are going up, likely because they're looking at, eBay is looking at what is a promoted listing on a bigger level. So I'm definitely looking at all of those, putting all of my promoted listings into a campaign so that I'm able to access that information and then make decisions based off of it.
Yeah, that makes sense. There are a lot of people who talk to other sellers who've been advising them for the last year prior to March 30th. Some influencers will tell people what you should do with promoted listings is just put everything on promoted and then spread the idea of a campaign across every single one of your listings, put it kind of on autopilot and watch it work.
for some people that might work, depending on what they're selling, what their business model is. But with everything that I do, I think you need to test it for your business and figure out what is going to work best for you. And you can do it, and it's going to depend on what you're comfortable with. I tend to dive straight in and promote at like 30% and say, hey, did it work? Because if you only do 1% at a time, it's kind of hard to see where you need to be. However, if you jump in and you do 30%, you may end up spending a lot more money out of your pocket. So I think it kind of depends on where you feel comfortable and how much money you really do need to take home at the end of the day. If you can do that jump in and then back off strategy, or if you say, hey, let me just go up 1% a month and see what it does during that time.
Sarah, in my experience as a buyer, I always see those sponsored promoted listing placements every time I search. But sometimes I'm perplexed because the item will be in a very prominent placement and an almost identical, if not absolutely identical item will be next to it at a much lower price. And I'm wondering to myself, is this a smart strategy? What do you think?
I think promoting your listings is not a quick fix. If you don't have a solid listing, if you don't have, and compared to your competition is, I mean, one, it has to come up. So you have to have your SEOs and pictures all. But if you're not competitive, especially right now, and buyers on eBay are smart. They know what they're doing. They know how to search. And so if you're, and I think this goes into free shipping and free return strategies I've heard as well, where they're like, oh, well, I'll offer it, but I'll put it into the price, which is fine if your price is so competitive, because buyers have caught on that we do that. And at the end of the day, unless you are the only one out there and you sell in, you know, antiques and you're the only thing out there, you can kind of do what you want. Most of us are not in that category. Definitely women's fashion, I'm not. Doing these different strategies, promoting free shipping, free returns, whatever, if you're putting that into your price and passing it on to the buyer, but it's still not competitive, it doesn't matter if you're at the top of the search, because buyers are going to be looking for something else. They know how to filter. They know how to sort. They're very savvy. And I always tell people, you have to think about when you're testing these strategies, but as you're thinking about what to do, think about buyer behavior. What is going to get the buyer to click? It's not what is going to make eBay happy. eBay's purpose is to get the item sold. And so you always have to think about buyer behavior. Is that going to get sold whether you promote it or not?
Sarah, is any of your inventory seasonal? And if so, how do you manage that?
Yes, but no, because I sell international. Women's fashion, you know, I have jeans, I have shorts. It definitely has a dip because most of my sales are US-based. So I do see, you know, right now we're going into spring, dresses are starting to sell, but I am an international seller. So if I have an item, I list it. I don't necessarily wait until this, you know, fall or winter to list it. But I do see some seasonality in what is selling because most of it is US-based.
A lot of sellers say that they see a seasonal dip year after year of various degrees for the summer, where retail sales seem to slow for a lot of online sellers. Do you have this experience as well?
Yes, it's hard because the past couple of years, it wasn't typical because we had COVID and things were shut down, right? And so people were shopping more online than they had been in years past. I'd venture to say this year is going to be pretty typical for online sales, a dip in the summer. The other thing you have to keep in mind is I work part-time hours around my kids' schedule. So I actually don't work in the summer. Well, so I work, but I have enough listings for the entire summer. I list and I ship and that's it. I'm not in there trying different strategies. I'm not doing YouTube videos. I'm out with my kids. So I'm not as strategic and active in my eBay store the rest of the year. So I see a little dip because of that as well. I'm still selling things, but not at the rate. So I don't know if mine's a little bit of, you know, summer slowdown as well as me not working quite as many hours.
Yeah, but you plan for this. This is not something that comes out of nowhere. You actually have set this aside as time where I'm going to focus my priorities on my children for the summer. And so it's understandable. You expect that maybe your business and sales might slow a little bit.
And I still list every single day. I take enough photos. I buy enough inventory. So then when summer hits, I have a virtual assistant, but I have enough photos and items to send to them to keep me regular on eBay without having to do all of that work. I kind of do it ahead, you know, in April and May so that it can kind of hold me over through the summer. So I'm not having to do that constantly.
Are you talking to us now from your actual operations center?
Yes, part of it. So this is my studio. We're at home. This is my studio where I take photos. I do YouTube. This is all my inventory to be processed. In the basement is where I keep all my inventory. It's all in bins like this. So that's where I do my shipping. So like half of it we're in right now.
Right. Do you manage to keep it from taking over your entire house?
Yeah, it stays in my office.
Yeah, that's important. When we're talking about Sarah showing me these things, we're on a platform that we record remotely, which is kind of like Zoom, but higher quality for the audio end and for video if you want to record. It's called Riverside. Check it out. I don't get paid for promoting Riverside. I just like it. It's always interesting to talk to somebody who's clearly a business seller who is selling from their home, because those challenges, when you have a family, when you have living spaces and you have a business space, and keeping them separate is so important to keeping a happy home life.
Yes. And we were fortunate. We moved right when COVID happened, and it was not fortunate. That was chaos. But we bought a house and we were able to get a space that I was able to do it, because in our previous house, it was like a corner of the basement that I always tried to keep it there. But it is definitely more efficient, and I'm a happier person. My family's a happier person to have it all in one space and just have everything set up and not have to take the 20 minutes to set up my photos and, you know, kind of cram all my stuff together. So it is nice to have it all in an enclosed space.
I know that you teach a lot of people on your YouTube channel. When you talk to a new seller that is understandably anxious about this new venture where they're going to more than dip their toes in, their plan is to actually run a business. They look up to you. They see you're doing this successfully. They want to do it as well. There are certain roadblocks that we as human beings tend to put in front of us when we're out trying a new venture, like starting a business. What are some of the things that you tell a new seller or use to reassure a new seller or coach a new seller into getting off on the right foot?
I think the biggest thing if you're starting on eBay is to look at the top rated seller program and do that. It is eBay telling you exactly what they want to do, exactly what is going to get you sales and keep you on the right foot. And then once you get to that, you're going to be good at listings. If you try and do all the things at once, it's going to be completely overwhelming. Top rated seller tells you, you know, what, four, maybe five things that are really, really important, you know, listing, sales. I don't have it off the top of my head, but it'll tell you the things that you need to focus on. Focus on those, get your processes down, get your listing down, get your items in front of people. And then once you do that, you can start looking at these different strategies. Should I do free shipping? Should I do promoted listings? But if you start with all of the things, it gets to be too overwhelming. So just hunker down, focus on your processes and getting top rated, because those are the things that are really important. But once you get there, you'll have a good base and then you can grow from there.
We've had a seller on recently. I can't remember exactly, but the seller managed to start in December and reached top seller within a few months. So they really put the effort behind it. And it's not too difficult, but you need to know the parameters, and you can find them on the eBay help pages. If you just search eBay help on top rated seller, it'll give you a complete outline of what standards you'll be held to, what you have to meet, you know, uploading your tracking and shipping out and within your handling time. And one of the big benefits when it comes to saving money is that if you meet all these, a certain group of your listings or all of them, if they qualify, can get you a discount of 10% on your final value fee, which can add up if you're doing a high volume.
And once you get to top rated too, eBay has told us that it gets you more exposure as well. And again, buyer behavior, buyers are going to see that stamp of approval and be more willing to buy from you. And so when I first started, I was kind of casual for 6-8 months maybe. And then I was like, I'm going to do it. And to get to that status, my average sale price really decreased because I just wanted to get sales going and get things going. And then once I got there, I slowly started working on these different strategies to work on increasing my revenue.
It's always a pleasure talking to you, Sarah. You're an inspiration and your energy is infectious. Now I want to stop this interview and go start listing more stuff. Where can people find you?
I am Sarah Styles, LLC, everywhere. So YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, eBay, Facebook, all of the places.
I'll put links to your YouTube channel and to your eBay store, and then encourage people to go search you out in other channels as well. Sarah, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Sarah sells under the user ID Sarah Styles, LLC. That's Sarah _Styles_LLC. And you're going to want to check out her YouTube channel because it is fantastic. You can find that at youtube.com/Sarah Styles LLC, all one word.
You got questions?
We got answers. And as usual this week, Brian, we have three submissions. Two are more like suggestions, and one is definitely a question. You ready?
Fire away.
Our first email is from eBay seller Laura, who sent this to podcast@ebay.com. Hello. Our experience is that if a buyer doesn't pay within 24 hours, they likely won't. The four-day wait time to cancel and relist is excessive, in our opinion. Our position is that when an offer is accepted, immediate payment should be required. Do you know if eBay is planning to address this issue? Thanks, eBay seller. Nomads for hire.
Well, Laura, you're not alone. Unpaid items are a thorn in the side of many sellers. We understand the frustration of not getting paid after you've done everything right. You've created a great listing, waited for the right offer, and quickly accepted the best offer, only to have the buyer fail to return and pay. The good news is that we've been testing different ways to solve this problem, starting with best offer listings in the United States. The first phase of changes to best offer is already live for a significant number of buyers who now have to provide a payment method upfront before submitting an offer. Our goal is to extend the new experience to all buyers who submit best offers, first in the United States and then later across more eBay markets.
That's just the first phase of the project. The ultimate goal, as mentioned by our CEO, Jamie Iannone, is to include auction format listings as well, so that all formats have an immediate payment option.
So Laura, stay tuned as the project progresses, and by the end of the year, our plan is to have all buyers folded into the project, which will go a long way towards the goal of eliminating unpaid items.
At least for best offer. I think that's the goal.
Yeah, agreed. It's best offer by the end of the year. Our next email is from eBay seller Russ Unroll, who sent this to podcast@ebay.com. First, I love that name. Just curious, what act of Congress or the Vatican can get eBay programmers to create a field for store subscribers to input a cost of item? Something that would calculate and give sellers a net breakdown after fees and shipping. And yes, I know about the SKU field. Would saying please help? Love the show, would be down for being a guest. If not, one of those fancy-dancy new Bluetooth mugs would be a welcome addition. Regards, Russ Reese, Russ N. Roll is his user ID. Well, Russ, this sounds like a suggestion for the product team.
Yeah. And in fact, if you've listened to past episodes, you know this is a really popular ask, one that I've been asking for as well. So here's my suggestion. Ask as many people as you know, sellers, who would love to have this, and go to the tech board on the eBay community and post it as a suggestion. Tell them Griff sent you and you want an extra field, because we all do. That SKU field, by the way, you can use it for cost of goods, but since it's one field, it would be awkward to use it for other bits of information. On a previous episode, we talked about how you can use one field like the custom label field, and you can put several different pieces of data, but it is not elegant. It takes some work, and it would just be better to have extra fields. Russ is asking for one. I think we should have four fields.
Yeah, give the seller the number of fields that they need to add to the report. I thought that there was a way in Seller Hub to now add a column, or is that adding the SKU field?
So the SKU field is called custom label, and there's only one custom label option. So yeah, I'd love to see us add more. But we'll keep asking, Russ, and hopefully they'll give us what we ask for.
And Russ, if you do want to go post that, you can post it at community.ebay.com, go to community info, and then there is a share eBay technical issues forum there, and post away.
And you know, and I'm going to be upfront and brazen about it. If you have a suggestion, post it there. And if you think you have enough friends who agree with you, get your other sellers to post a suggestion there as well, too. I think maybe they'll listen. I don't know. Our next and final email for this week is from eBay seller Brenda, who asks, how can I get a refund for an unused QR code? Thanks, Brenda.
Well, Brenda, we asked our friend Nate Hayward in the shipping department, who says that the process for obtaining a refund on a USPS label, whether that's printing the label or the QR code, is to use the void option for that label. I've actually had to do this for a USPS label recently.
Yeah, I have had to do it here, Brenda, as well. You can find that process in Seller Hub under the Orders tab. So if you're not familiar with Seller Hub, we hope you are, but if you're not, you can reach it from the My eBay link at the top of any eBay page. Just hover over that link, and then from the drop-down menu that appears, select the link for selling. This will take you to the main page, and you want to click on the Orders tab and make sure you're on the Orders page, and then click the link on the left side of that page that says Shipping Labels. This takes you to a page that shows all the labels you've recently purchased.
There's a column on that page for actions, if your label is a USPS label and it hasn't been scanned by USPS yet, you can select void from the drop-down menu. This action will void the label and you'll get a refund for the cost of the label within 2 weeks.
And when we say label, that can also mean that you didn't print the label, but you purchased it and then printed out a QR code. But Nate reminds us to tell you to keep in mind that the void option for any USPS label is only available for 5 days from the date of label purchase. After the 5 days, that option disappears. That means you won't be able to receive a refund. And I said to Nate, are you sure? There's no like process, like can Brenda go to the post office? And Nate said, no. After 5 days, there's no option for voiding that label or QR code.
So that's a really important key nugget of information for our listeners. Yeah. And for me, I did not know that.
Don't put it off.
If you print it or you're unable to print it and you have to buy another one and then you have to void it, do it immediately.
Do it immediately. Do not put it off, because after 5 days from purchase, that label void option will disappear from eBay. And Nate assured me that if you take it to the post office, they're not going to give you a refund.
Hopefully, Brenda figured this out before she listened to this, because I know this is greater than 5 days from since she sent in her email.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that, but I thought it's still worthy of the message. So, Brenda, unfortunately, if you were waiting for an answer and it's now 5 weeks afterwards, I'm sorry. But anyway, I think it's important to know this.
But Griff will send you a mug.
Oh, yeah, I'll send you a mug. But you didn't leave an address. So, Brenda, if you're listening to this, send me an email with your shipping address in, and we'll send you a mug that's definitely worth more than like a label, I'm pretty sure. So that's all the email we have for this week, Brian.
But there's always next week and the week after that and the week after that. If you have a question or comment or suggestion you want us to address, why not call it into our voice line at 888-723-4630.
That's 888-723-4630. Call that number at your convenience. Leave us a message after the beep, and we'll answer your question on an upcoming episode.
And as always, if you're definitely not a call-on-the-phone type person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now it's time for your 3-point podcast checklist.
Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
You know it's coming, right?
Oh, no.
You've read ahead on the script, haven't you?
I just did.
Okay, so I've only got 2 words this week. Thermal printer. Okay, I have 2 more words. Buy one.
I'm not even sure what to say on that, Griff. Just buy one. Then Griff will stop saying it.
No, I won't. Because there'll always be someone who hasn't bought
one. That's true. There's always going to be someone new. I will say they are convenient. I just shipped an item, and it's so nice to have a label that looks professional. It spits out really easily and quickly. You just have to remember to switch to the right printer before you hit print, or else you waste ink on your other printer. But other than that, they're wonderful. Need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
On our next episode, we're going to take a break from talking about strictly selling stuff to visit with an old colleague of ours, Sarah McDonald, known to many eBay sellers as Sarah Brubacher. Sarah is a former eBay employee who worked closely with sellers for years during her tenure at the company. She's just written a book about her battle with 2 cancers at once.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, Sarah Eyre.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed in part by Libsyn and Podcast 411.